Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. Oh, he set me free, yes, he set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me, and I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. And now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away, and my feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound, for he set me free. Yes, he set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me, and I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Oh yes, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me, and I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. And goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. And daily I'm working and I'm praying too. And glory to God, I'm going through. For he set me free, yes, he set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me. Now I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day, and darkness of night has drifted away, and my feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Oh yes, he set me free, yes, he set me free, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. And I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Come on, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Come on, let's worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary of the Lord and we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, glory. How about that? Do you love him? Have you been set free? That's singing from our sanctuary. Singing. We have some of the best singing in the country. I am overwhelmed by it. I don't want that to be our hallmark, but I love for that to be part of our hallmark. Singing, good singing is wonderful. I love it. I love good singing. I want you to be blessed when you go to the house of God. And we don't sing this new contemporary mess. I want you to understand that. We don't sing this new contemporary, you know, compromise stuff. I've never known of a church yet that starts singing contemporary music that they don't quit preaching the pre-trib rapture. You see, the pre-trib rapture and old-fashioned singing that's full of that message just goes together. If you don't have both of them, you don't have either one of them. And you need to remember that. You really do. If you're in a contemporary music church, you have an obligation to get out. You have an obligation to get out. Now, maybe you can talk to the preacher and get him saved, and he'll go back to singing good music. I don't know. Most of them don't ever go back. Once they go that route, it's over. Once they go that route, it's over. I hope you hear that, and I hope you do something about what's going on in your worship life, in your praise life, because old-fashioned music will change your life. Oh, what a week of camp meeting we've had. It has been outstanding, and it continues tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning. Yes, don't miss it. Tomorrow morning, Paul Creek Church, 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, 5110 Tuckasegee Road. I challenge you to come hear the word of God. Come sing with us. You will be glad you came after you come. I promise you. You say, I live too far. A church alive is worth the drive. Did you hear me? A church alive is worth the drive. If you use that as an excuse, then I feel sorry for you. That's terrible. That's terrible. You'd rather go to a dead church that you don't have to drive 30 minutes than to drive 30 minutes or an hour to be in a living church. You need to get experience with God. You need something to change your life. I'm here to tell you now, our subject today, it really is a good one. The gates of hell are open. When? Notice that word when now. When the gates of hell are open. When the gates of hell are open. And I promise you, it's not going to be long. I do promise you, the word of God's real. It stands like a great barrier against wickedness and a great exclamation of truth. And it never changes. And thank God for that. Now, when the gates of hell are open. You say, Brother Chambers, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Now you know, the tribulation period begins in chapter 6, verse 1. The rapture has already occurred in chapter 4. And the evidence of the rapture is evidently seen in chapter 5. And then we come to chapter 6. And Jesus, the Son of God, begins to open that seven-sealed book. Seven-sealed book. Chapter 6, verse 1. Well, we get over to chapter 9. We've had seven seals open. And when the seventh seal was open, there's seven angels. Seven angels that come forth to sound trumpets. Seven angels come out of the seventh seal. And the fifth of those seven angels is chapter 9. Now I want to read you a little bit. I want you to listen carefully. And the fifth angel sounded. And I saw a star. This star is a great angelic being. This is a seraphim. A great archangel, or seraphim, or one of the great angels of the Lord. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him, was given the key of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. Now, where is the bottomless pit? It's under hell. It's not hell. It's under hell. It's an extension of hell, but a deeper, more wicked, more diabolical portion of eternal hell. Okay, don't forget that now. He opened the bottomless pit. And then there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun, the air, were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, this is going on during the seven-year tribulation period. Now, there are some biblical idiots out there that think the seven-year tribulation period happening altogether after the great rapture is false doctrine. Well, they don't know what they're talking about. I've been in this book 60-some years, and I know that the Holy Spirit has helped me understand that some of the deep things of this book. I'm still learning. I don't count myself as some great authority, but I do know that I understand this book. And the great furnace now is opened out of the bottomless pit so that the smoke comes out, and it darkens the sun. I mean, it sends a great darkness that covers this earth. It'll be a blackness and a darkness that will be absolutely breathtaking. It will be awesome. It will be fearful. It will be such that will make the world tremble. I'm telling you, it's a coming. And there came out of the smoke. The smoke's bad, but the smoke's only the beginning. There came out of the smoke locusts. Locusts. Now these are great fallen angels. Great fallen angels. that are called locusts as a synonym for their evil and for their wickedness and for their ability to bring great destruction and great pain. So they appeared out of the smoke, bottomless pit, locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them. They are intelligent beings. They can be told what to do and what not to do. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men, those people who have not the seal of God in their forehead. See, God has sealed certain people. Those who get saved at some point may get sealed. Some are destroyed by the enemy. A lot of different things are occurring to different people. You got to understand that. Not all the same. Not all the same. And so, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Remember, 144,000 Jews were sealed. And so there's a protection of them because of their responsibility. And to them it was given that they should kill. I'm sorry, but and to them was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment is as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death. In those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shape of the locusts was like unto horses, prepared unto battle. Now listen carefully. Horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads was, as it were, crowns of like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. See, these are evil spirits, and they're given grotesque appearance. They're unique appearances because they're being turned loose and prepared by the devil to do great and evil and wicked damage upon the earth. You see, the devil is going to be known for his wickedness before that 7 years is over. I promise you. And the hair has hair as the hair of a woman. Now, these are male creatures, but they have hair like a woman. If you want to know why it's so wrong for a man to wear long shabby hair, this is a good picture of it. A man should be like a man. His hair should be cut like a man. You know, I'm amazed at how this world is going into this. See, these shabby-haired men are getting you ready to see those shabby-haired creatures. That's what they're doing. The whole world is shaping up for the fulfillment of this. That's why it's so scary. The world is shaping up for the fulfillment of it. And their hair was as the hair of women. And their teeth was as the teeth of lions. Notice that. And they had breastplates, and as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of the wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. Now listen. And there were stings in their tails. And the power was to hurt men and to kill. Oh, great day. Listen. Now notice this. One more verse. And they had a king over them. A king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Here's a great angelic being. He belongs to the devil's crowd. Now, you understand. See, the devil has a priesthood. A priesthood of, and the wicked people, demon spirit people, demon possessed people, and angels, wicked angels that are fallen. They all desire to, obtain certain levels in the priesthood of the devil. And so they'll see how much wickedness they can do so they can earn a higher office in the priesthood of old Lucifer. You don't understand, but the devil is as religious as it is possible to be. But it's a false expression of religion. It's always an imitation. It's always an imitation. You got to hear it. Now, verse 12, let me read you this. One woe is past, and behold, two woes are yet to come. You think that sounds bad, what I just read? That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Now, I hope I can get to this whole chapter. That's going to be hard. But I want you to understand, the next woe, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of humankind. One third of the humankind will be slain during this sixth seal that I just read you, which is just a continuation of the first. I mean, coming out of the bottomless pit, coming out of hell. You see, I have shown you how the heavens are going to be rolled back like a scroll, the second heavens. And so you'll be able to look up and see through the sky above you if you're here on the earth and you miss the rapture. And you're wicked, or you're ungodly, or you're one of the devil's crowd, or you've joined the devil's army. There's been a guy over in Gastonia. I think he's moved over there now. He used to come to this church. He used to be right with God. His wife used to be one of the sweetest, greatest piano player, a godly woman. And he's been into some of the darkest garbage that you'll ever hear. And he's been going to churches. And I know some preachers who've allowed him in their pulpit to tell of this thing that's coming. That's nothing but a lie from hell. It is as lie and as dark as the pit of hell could be. Now, if you've been in a church and you've heard this man come and tell about this kingdom dominion theology, going to have a great revival and set up the kingdom on the earth. And I don't know what all he says. I've just heard little tidbits. I'm thinking about doing some investigation and reporting and just giving you his name so that you can look out for this garbage, because it's coming like a storm. I'm telling you, it's everywhere you look. You've got people who used to be solid in their understanding of the pre-trib rapture. And now they're standing up against a rapture period. Not just against the pre-trib, but many of them against any kind of a rapture. They think that this army is going to be saints of God who are going to take over the world for a new religion and get the world ready for Jesus to come back to it. And that's nothing but a falseness, a lie. It goes back to the first 200-300 years of early church history, when the Catholic Church introduced people into post-millennialism, that they were going to set up the kingdom. There's always been this crowd of haughty people who think they can set up the kingdom for Jesus. No, Jesus will establish his own kingdom. Did you hear me? Jesus will establish his own kingdom. Now, there's much here. In a little bit, I'm going to take you to Joel. I'm going to show you that Joel, that great ancient prophet, prophesied of the exact same thing that here John the Revelator is prophesying of. John saw it. Joel just heard about it, just gave the inspiration of it. He explained it, but John saw it. I mean, this is coming. You say, I want to be here to fight for Jesus during that period. You are the biggest fool in town if you think that. You really are. I'm telling you, friend, it's going to be as dark can be. And you don't want to be here. Now, I want you to get on your phones, and I want you to begin to call me, and I want you to ask me questions that will help you understand this. I'm not going to leave that up in a minute now. Here's the number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588, okay? And the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. You need to help me by asking questions that will help the people understand. This is so breathtaking. Oh, you say it's horrible. Only if you're part of the losing crowd. It's not terrible if you're part of the winning crowd. It's only terrible if you're part of the losing crowd. And if this scares the socks off of you, get on your knees and get yourself right with God. It'll make you shout. It'll make you say, glory to God, we'll be gone. That trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. The living saints are going to be transformed. We're going to meet the dead in the air. And we're going up to praise him and love him and shout while all this hell is going on down here. I don't want you to be here. Why are you doing these programs? Because I don't want you to be here. Why are you telling us such dark things? Because I want you to get ready to get out of here. That's why I'm telling them. I'm telling you because I care about you. because this preacher cares about you. I'm here to win the lost. And if you don't believe this stuff, you hang around. Because as sure as this Bible is perfect, it will occur just like this Bible said. Now, how many of you out there believe the Bible is perfect? How many of you believe the Bible is the perfect Word of God? Do you? Do you really believe? You say, Brother Chambers, this sounds so off the wall. Well, it really don't sound off the wall unless you just don't know your Bible. Jude, who was a half-brother of Jesus, listen to what Jude said. Listen to him now. And the angels which kept not their first estate, he hath but left their first estate, left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Now here's Jude telling us that this is going to happen, telling us about it, and saying these angels are in the bottomless pit. They're in chains until, now notice me, until the judgment of the last day. Now, I'm going to take a call here. I want you to grab your phone. I'm here to listen and be a blessing and help you and answer your question. You're on the air. May I help you, please? Well, let me hit another button. Sorry about that. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. I would like to know how Texas church-going world can be without being abolished.
You know, your voice is breaking down, and I keep trying to solve it, but I can't solve it. Say all that again and be a little slower, okay?
Okay. To what extent is a believer required to know what's going on in our world, to be able to see what's happening in the political world and show people in mainline denomination churches, the Bible predicts all this, and that this is a concerted effort by certain people to bring a satanic one-world government on us.
Well, how do we help them understand that? I do not know. But this whole idea of a one-world government, a one-world entity in the religious sector, all of this is on a fast track. And it's got the biggest names and the biggest money makers and the greatest so-called preachers who live on millions and stay and live in great mansions. And they think that they're going to be part of setting up this. It's a delusion that is so deep and so profound that they aren't even interested in hearing what I've got to say or what the book of Revelation says.
I don't see anything in Revelation that remotely resembles the world that you're describing.
Well, there is nothing, brother. There's not one thing in Revelation that tells you anything, but the rapture is going to occur in chapter 4. The saints caught up in the air, and then the book in the hands of the Father is taken by Jesus in chapter 5. And in chapter 6, he starts opening that book, and all hell breaks loose. I mean, it is as plain as the nose on your face that there's not going to be no one world entity set up by men that has the kingdom of God at root. Now, there is going to be a false one world kingdom, and that's the devil's kingdom. The devil is going to rule the world to such an extent that he can literally force every man and woman to take a mark, to buy anything they want to buy, to travel the highway. And all of that is exactly what the world is preparing for and just don't have any biblical understanding to stop it.
Do you not think it's deficient for a minister? I had a minister years ago show me how the world really works. I'm shocked. I very rarely see anybody that's concerned. They don't know. You've got a certain denomination and John D. Rockefeller gave a certain minister of that denomination millions of dollars. His goal through Union Theological Seminary was to subvert Christianity.
The seminaries are full of doubting preachers, of professors that are actually false prophets. They are educated beyond common sense. They live out of books, not the Bible. They live out of philosophy, not the Word of God. They live by some idea. I mean, the world right now is on an upward mold as far as money, as far as wealth, as far as the one world system. If Donald Trump is hated for one thing above everything else, it is his absolute commitment against globalism. Because their main thrust now is globalism. It's a worldwide scheme, globalism. If you're not part of the globalistic society, you ought to be assassinated, just like they want to assassinate Trump.
One last thing. Hey, a lot of these people, and I know some, I grew up seeing some of this stuff, they don't realize that above the people that are providing the money and the scholarships, the union, are people themselves. They don't want you to know this, but they're Satan worshippers. They're Luciferians, and the public doesn't know that. They think all the casual gods are saying, yeah, so these religious fanatics believe all this stuff. They don't know. They may not believe in God, but the people that pay their salaries do.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there's no doubt. The Luciferian crowd know exactly what they're doing. They're getting it ready for the Antichrist. They know that the true Christ is going to be gone. Many of them now, not everybody. There's a lot of deluded people. There's a lot of people so misled. I know them. I know people that I love. I warned them. If you go to that university to get you the higher degree of learning and you go into the philosophy classes and the philosophical classes, they're going to do everything in their power to make a liberal out of you. And I know wonderful people I love. They've made liberals out of. And I'll try to tell them, and they don't even hear it. They don't even hear it.
Appreciate what you're doing.
Well, you know, I'm just here as a man of God. I'm not some great mind. I live in the Bible. I know the Bible is the infallible Word of God. I know the book of Revelation is absolutely where we are right now. We're in the last part of chapter 3. The rapture any minute now, and as soon as that rapture, 7 years of hell on earth, then we're coming back to set up the kingdom on this earth, and we're going to change this thing. Hallelujah. We're going to change this thing. Do you love that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Please call. Please call out there. Hey, I want to hear from you. I want to answer your question. I want you to know what we're talking about is in this Bible. I'll take you any part of the Bible. I was just reading from Jude. Let me read that again from Jude. He said it clear. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of that great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. And the cities round about in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. That's sodomy. Going after strange flesh. Sodomy. I spent the program last week talking about this rise of sodomy on a worldwide scale. Because the Antichrist is going to be a sodomite. And the world is going to be run by sodomites. If Obama could have had his way, he would have turned this America into a sodomite nation during his reign of 8 years. And the reason they hate Trump is because he's reversing all of that mess, turning it back. And we're the only nation in the world that's doing it. Do you understand? No wonder he's going through such a war. But just hang on. The Bible's true. Right's going to prevail. Right's going to prevail. Thank God for right. Thank God for right. Now, I'm going to take you while I'm waiting on your calls. I'll stop at any moment for telephone calls, okay? Grab your phone. Grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I'll show you that Joel, that Old Testament prophet, prophesied of the same thing. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. And sound an alarm in the holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is a night or it is a hand nigh of darkness. I'm sorry there. It is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the mountains are spread upon the mount, as the morning spreads upon the mountain. A great people and a strong habitation, I'm sorry, let me read this again. I'm trying to see it well, and it's not easy for me anymore. As the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and a strong that hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now listen, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses and a horseman, so shall they run, like the noise of chariots. See, comparing this to Revelation 9, go read Revelation 9 again, and then read Joel chapter 2. Got the same words, chariots, you got noise, you got these creatures like horses. I mean, it reads right on. I don't have time to read it all, but I'm here to tell you, if you'll read Revelation 9 and then Joel 2, you'll see exactly what Joel promised John saw. Notice this now. What Noah prophesied in words, John saw in vision. So it's no doubt. This is coming. It's coming for one reason. God has got to judge this earth. God has got to clean this mess up. God has got to set this earth on a course of righteousness. God's got to change the direction of humankind. God's got to make this earth a Garden of Eden again, a place of righteousness and holiness and purity. Oh, what a day. And we're going to come back and set up the kingdom and reign with him 1,000 years. And then the new Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven. And then there's a new heaven and a new earth, not new in the fact of a different spirit, but the same spirit made new, the same spirit totally redeemed, totally turned to righteousness and holiness and purity. Are you listening? I don't think some of you are listening. You're not even right with God. You're still living in sin. You're still going to some old lukewarm church. You're still listening to preachers talking about a kingdom dominion theology. I pick up Facebook, and I'll see somebody like Carl Richardson, a great friend of mine in the past, and he's bragging on this guy, Tony Scott, a pastor up in one of the northern spirits, and he's saying, I'm thankful you're into the kingdom ideas. Well, I'm into the kingdom ideas, but they're not some preacher's kingdom ideas, but his kingdom ideas. Oh, there's going to be a kingdom, but it's going to be the kingdom of the Lord. Are you listening to me? If you don't get right with God, you're going to be part of that wrong crowd, and you can be deluded. You say, no, they could never convince me. I'm here to tell you, the devil is a sly old fox, and he can convince a multitude of people unless they've got their anchor in the Bible. Unless you've been born again and you have some discernment about you. Good people who've been born again have often been deceived beyond measure until they lose their right way, lose their right path. I told a man the other day who I presume used to believe in the pre-trib rapture. He's the leader of the music of a great Pentecostal church, you know, and now he's in the mid-trib, and he just got bothered at me. And I said to him, I don't even want to hear your music any longer. If you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, you're not singing no songs of Zion to me. You can't sing the songs of Zion if you don't believe in a pre-trib rapture. I'm telling you that right now. You say, Brother Chambers, you're harsh. No, I'm not harsh. I'm dealing with eternity. I'm dealing with my soul and your soul. I'm dealing with where you're going to spend eternity. I'm dealing with what you're going to do. What's the real thing that you love? Which direction are you really going? I'm dealing with things that are eternal. I'm not dealing with temporal things. How can I be careless dealing with temporal, with heavenly things? If I was dealing with houses and land, I would say, well, it don't matter whether you buy that house or that house, whether you buy that piece of land or that piece of land, if I was dealing with temporal things. But I'm not dealing with temporal things. I'm dealing with eternal things. And I want to tell you the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, I've written down. I'm a little slow getting there. Too much. I'm trying to help you. I'm after your soul. I really am. I'm after your mind. I'm after your mind being saturated with this Bible. Get in that book of Revelation and believe every word in it. Please order my book, The Masterpiece. There's not a better book. There's not a better book on Revelation, verse by verse, hardcover too. Call right now. The ladies will be glad to get your order. You'll get it off to you because we are living in that hour. Now grab your phone. I'm going to give you this booklet. This booklet on when the gates of hell are open. It's got some good understanding in it. It quotes the verses you need to read. It gives you a picture that's as clear as a bell. The Holy Spirit poured it into me. Poured it into me. And I know it's right. I really do. And I want you to have a copy. So grab your phone right now. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. And then you could also email me. I'll go there in a minute and see if there's any emails awaiting me. And that's jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Hey, I care about your soul. Whew, I care about your soul. I'm weeping for a multitude out there. I'm weeping for people I know, and I'm weeping for people I don't even know. I'm weeping for backsliders. I was Church of God 40-some years. I've been saved 65 years. I know more people that are backslid than most of you know that's ever even been saved. And these people used to stand right on this book, right on this word, right on this truth. I was talking to a state overseer of my former denomination some weeks ago, and he said, I don't even remember the last sermon I heard on the rapture. I think he was telling me he's already in the kingdom dominion theology, but I don't know that. Just my opinion. But I'm telling you, we're in the hour. Preachers don't get in the pulpit and preach this kind of truth. They don't, you know, they want you to be smooth, and they want to preach smooth things to you. They want to get you giving your money and being part of their great, massive organization, and they want to get you thinking like they're thinking. And there's some churches that are just absolutely controlled by the great music they have, and they're going into all kinds of good songs, some, but bad songs, some. Just a progression away from the old truth. I'm telling you, it's time to stay in that holy book. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. Now, I'm going to check the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. I always get nervous trying to check it because I get nervous that I'll click the wrong thing and go the wrong direction. Let's see here if there's anything. I don't see a thing. Don't see a thing. Now grab your phone. I'll grab your mouse if you want to send an email. I'll come back one more time. So if you wait till the last minute, don't expect me to get a chance to answer, okay? If you wait till the last minute, please don't expect me to have a chance because I won't go back the last few minutes. I go back early. I'll go back one more time. So send your email, jrc@paulcreek.org. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-337-8884. 1-800-338-7884. And you said something wrong there. 1-800-338-7884. I'll put up the numbers one more time. I really want your call now. I want to answer your question. I want to answer the questions you've got, and I want to relieve you of fear and help you make sure you know that if you get right with God, you have nothing to be afraid of. You have not a thing to run from. You have not a thing to lay down and worry about at night if you're right with God, because God has got this whole matter clearly in his possession. It is going to happen exactly like he has planned it. The book of Revelation will be fulfilled as perfectly as that sun shines up there in the sky. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and I am proud to be part of it. Now call 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. I really would like to have one call on top of the other for the next 25 minutes. I want to answer questions that will help you, and you are on the air, and may I help you, please?
Yes, sir. What I would like to know that Kenneth Copeland has the heart of this dominion theology.
Yes, he is.
He said the biggest failure in the Bible is God, is what he said. He said Adam committed high treason.
Yep.
At that point, all the dominion authority God had given him was handed over to Satan. And suddenly, God was on the outside looking in. So,
yep, that's what he said. So he says that from Adam the earth before Adam, before he failed, that he was supposed to take over and rule the earth, and the kingdom of God was going to come to the world. And Adam sold out, the devil became the usurper, and now we are to reestablish the kingdom on the earth ourselves, not bring Jesus back, but establish the kingdom so that when we get the kingdom all finished, then we can bring Jesus back. Couldn't be darker.
That's why these kingdom dominion people, even in some of the Pentecostal churches.
Oh, they've almost taken over, brother. They haven't just creeping in. They're taking over.
The devil have the dominion on the earth, and us taking it back. The only one that's going to bring the kingdom is Jesus himself.
Absolutely. Jesus alone. And all you got to do is read the Bible. It tells us after the Battle of Armageddon, he goes to Jerusalem.
How many Pentecostal denominations and some of the Baptists and different ones, they're into the dominion theology, and many of them are, they believe that, and Crevice, they believe that the Book of Revelation was fulfilled in 70 A.D., and that's why in a lot of these places, you never hear anything about the Book of Revelation. They think it's already been fulfilled, and you don't hear any preaching like that in any of these places. That's why they take these songs out of the song books about the Second Coming.
You can't sing from our red back hymnal we call the King James Bible or the King James Songbook. They can't sing from it because those songs are so full of the truth. They're so full of the great scriptures of the Bible. They're so full of the coming of the Lord, the millennial reign. The devil will be bound for a thousand. I mean, the King James Songbook is a Bible songbook, and they don't want it. I mean, I've had people tell me, the preacher would say to someone, let's sing Amazing Grace this morning. And they would say, I don't know that song. Out of some seminary somewhere, and he don't even know the words of Amazing Grace.
Yes, I had a Pentecostal preacher tell me, while back he was preaching in a meeting, and he had a song, We All Get to Heaven. And one of the pastors after that, he said, we don't believe about that in here. We don't believe that we're going to heaven in this church.
And the man actually said, we don't believe we're going to heaven.
Yeah, that's some of that kingdom dominion.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of people don't even believe in the 1,000 years reign of Christ.
Well, it's a majority of the church world that don't believe in the great millennial reign. But we'll be there in 7 years if Jesus comes today. If Jesus comes today, the millennial kingdom will start in approximately 7 years.
Yes.
I love you. Give us a call now. I want anybody out there. I want the toughest question you can think of. I want the question that will help everybody out there grasp what we're trying to show you. We're simply trying to show you that the book of Revelation is indeed perfect, and that all the other books from Joel all the way back to Genesis, even Psalms, they are full of things that we now see in the book of Revelation. In fact, I tell people that the book of Revelation is a perfect conclusion of the whole Bible. That every doctrine in the Bible from Genesis to Jude is seen in a united state in the book of Revelation. And so if you don't read the book of Revelation, you are ignorant of biblical truth, and you're willfully ignorant of biblical truth because you refuse to read the book of Revelation. You refuse to study it. You refuse to go to a church that preaches it. You'd rather be in a good soft church where you feel safe and feel unaccosted, where you can kind of go about your life in a worldly fashion, kind of live as you please, dress like you please, talk like you please, and no preacher in the pulpit is trying to help you get ready for the rapture. But I'm sitting here helping you, if you'll let me, get ready for the rapture. Now, if you haven't shared this with your friends on Facebook, you ought to share it to everybody. Because you don't know who you might help out there. You really don't. And I'm telling you, we're in the closing hour. I'm sitting here with all my heart loving you, sending a warning to you, declaring my compassion for you, telling you this is the greatest truth on the face of this earth. You on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Sir, I'm not going to wait any longer. Go ahead. You're on the air. Well, I'm not sure what this person is up to, but we'll move on. Give us a call, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884. If you want to call, I want to talk with you. I want to answer your question. I want to help you. I want to help you. And when I answer, don't hesitate. Just talk with me. I'm tickled to death to talk with you. I don't care if you disagree with me every lick of it. I don't care what you say. I will be your friend, and I will pray for you. I'll reach out to you. I'll do my best to help you. I'll do my best to help you. If you are poverty-stricken, you can't afford a book of Revelation, I'll send you a free book. That's how much I care. You just call and say, I'm poverty-stricken. Now, if you buy cigarettes and you buy snuff and you go to the movies with your money, don't call and ask for a free book. You'll be a hypocrite if you did. But if you literally are poverty-stricken, I'll send you a book. So you just call. Tell my ladies. I'll be glad to bless you. Now, grab your phone. I've got 17 minutes. I don't want to waste a minute of it. I'm going to take you while you are calling to the book of 2 Peter 2 and 4 and just give you a little more picture of the Bible, how the Bible is so clear in warning us of what is about to happen. I mean, the Bible is clear in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Let me read. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them and overturning them, and making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with his filthy conversation of the wicked. Go on and on. That's 2 Peter 2, beginning with verse 4. It is so evident that we are seeing in Revelation the fulfillment of Peter, of Jude, of Matthew, of Luke, of Mark. I mean, it's just an overwhelming picture. It really is. And I thrill to the beauty of God's word. And you on the air, may I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor.
Yes.
You were speaking a few moments ago about when Jesus returns at the Battle of Armageddon.
Yes.
You said he was going to go to Jerusalem.
Yes.
Is that when he will go through the western gate?
That's when he goes through the gate at the great, the place of the temple called the Golden Gate.
Yes. I was just wondering.
That's called the Eastern Gate, not the Western Gate.
Yeah, it's the Eastern Gate. I got it mixed up.
That's okay. And I've been there. It's been bricked up for hundreds of years. And there's been times when generals have thought to go there and open that gate. And always God had somebody in the crowd that said, no, don't touch that gate. That's where the Messiah goes into the city and sets up his kingdom. I mean, that's another proof that the 1,000-year millennial reign is right on the horizon, is because that gate stands right now, locked up, closed, bricked up, waiting for the Messiah to come, waiting for the Messiah to appear. And I'm telling you, great. Hey, I want to shout hallelujah. He's coming. I believe in my lifetime. I'm 82, but I believe I'm going to live. Somebody came up to me the other day and said, Brother Chambers, I just have the feeling you're going to live to see the rapture. Well, I believe that, but I'm not worried either way.
Hope you do.
I wouldn't mind busting some soil, some sod, when the rapture takes place. I mean, just shaking that acoustic lid off and shaking that dirt out of over me and rising up there and leaving a hole big enough for somebody to fall into. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming.
Amen. I hope you're here when he comes. I'd rather have you here.
I want to be here to take care of you, Brother Darrell.
Huh?
I want to be here to take care of you.
That's what I'm hoping and praying for, is that you'll be here right to the last minute.
Tell me this. How many years have you been listening to Open Bible Dialogue?
Oh, Lord, it's been about 20 years at least.
You started in Charlottesville, didn't you?
Yeah, I started in Charlottesville. That was around the late 80s, early 90s.
How about that? I love that. I love that, Daryl. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
For a while, I was blessed to go to Brother Keith's church.
Yeah, that's right. You did. I remember that now. I love you.
I love you, too.
All right, grab your phone now, people all over the place. If you haven't ordered this article, I think it's because you just aren't thinking with your head. Everybody out there, very few people have ever read this kind of truth to understand what is actually coming. Very few. Preachers won't preach it. I mean, every preacher out there could get a copy of this and give it to the whole congregation, and I'd be proud of it. Copy it and make hundreds of copies. I don't care. I don't care to be in a booklet form, real nice, with a real pretty cover. Never been made a cover of this before. Never been made a booklet of this before. It will bless you. It will bless you, and I want to send it to you. So get on the stick there and grab your phone, would you? Grab your phone. If you don't have a phone close, grab your mouse and send me your address. The secretary will get it right off the email, okay? We care. Now, I'm waiting. I have about 12 more minutes, 13 minutes. I want to answer some more questions. I want you to see this picture. I want you desperately to see this picture. And while you are calling, I'm going to read a little more from chapter 9, okay? So grab your phone. I'm waiting on you. Listen, everybody out there, listen to the scripture. Listen to it now, please. And the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, which is before the throne, saying to the sixth angel, which has the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. Now notice, for to slay the third part of men and the number of them. Now listen, the number of this army of horsemen were 200,000. 200,000. That's 200,000s times 200,000. I think you'll see that's 200 million. 200 million. And these are 200 million? Do you know what I'm talking about? 200 million of these great creatures out of the darkness of hell? Could I tell you something? That human beings that are wicked and ungodly and sold to the filth of godless living, they're going to be part of that crowd. Because they're cast into the bottomless pit. And they fester. And then they're going to come out of there with a wickedness. And it's going to be hellish. Going to be beyond hellish. The darkness that's coming. Now every one of you, get a copy of this booklet. I can't believe we haven't already taken the orders for 1,000. Because we are so close to this moment. Now, you need to be in a holiness church tomorrow. A Bible-believing church. A Holy Ghost-anointed church. Where the sweet Spirit of God is sweeping down. Man, we've had such a week. And you can order the whole camp meeting now on DVDs or CDs. Either one. DVDs or CDs, you call and tell them to send you an order blank. Or you can call and just order over the phone on, well, not to Wednesday because holidays over the weekend and my secretaries are off Monday and Tuesday. And so they won't be here, but Wednesday they'll be here. 704-391-0588. I'm telling you, we are there. We are so close. It's overwhelming. You on the air. May I help you, please?
It's in the days of Noah that said it would be. Men's hearts would be cold as ice. They'd have eyes that they can't see. To have ears that they can't hear, their lovers of pleasure and delicacy. And Yahweh has a word for this called blasphemy. They call it rapture.
Well, you're right, my friend. We're living in that hour. I mean, blasphemy is everywhere. Darkness is everywhere. Blindness is everywhere. I'm talking to thousands right now. And I would suspect that 90% of them are blind to this. They may even hear me, but they are so settled in their homes and their good salaries and their fancy cars and their bigger houses until they don't want to change. They want to keep going like they're going.
Amen, brother. I am so amazed that the preachers are not crying aloud. They're still playing the fiddle and they won't sound the trumpet. I cannot understand it.
Well, I don't understand it either. Will you help me pray like you've never prayed, sir? Pray for the preachers. The greatest. We've got mostly preachers in America that are nothing but wimps. Let me tell you something I wrote down this morning. There is a spirit that is the absence of manliness. that has invaded our world of the church. I wrote that down this morning. There is a spirit that is the absence of manliness, the absence of manliness that has invaded the world of the church. Preachers are nothing but wimps. I don't know that many preachers that can walk into a restaurant and start witnessing the people that are sitting around them during mealtime. Now, there probably are a lot of them, but I don't know them. Most preachers are so wimpy, and they say, you can do that, Brother Chambers, but I can't. The reason they can't do it is because they're wimpy. I get amazed at wimpy preachers.
They don't know Jesus as Father. They know him, love him, but they do not know him, Brother. If they did, they'd be crying aloud, Brother.
Well, some of them know him, but they don't have the fire of Pentecost. That's what's missing. John the Baptist said, he will fill you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We need a church world full of fire. Holy Ghost fire.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost fire. Thank you, sir, and God bless your heart. Now, call us quickly. I'm waiting on you. I've got time for another call, and I beg of you, please get this booklet. Please ring that phone as long as you will ring it. If it's busy, you just keep calling. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Good afternoon, Pastor Chambers. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm sitting here filling the Holy Ghost and fire and preaching truth.
Amen. Yeah, one thing I want to point out, this is something I've been talking to my wife about, is that these people, like you said before, once the church is taken out, then all these, what I call straight people and people who support the LGBT and all and think that ISIS and these Muslims are all right people and everything, they're nothing to be feared. See, I told my wife last night, I said, these people are going to get a big surprise once the church is removed, because then they're going to see the wickedness with no protection from the church that they've never seen before, and they're going to be crying out going, what have we been fooled by?
Yep, that's going to be the most horrible day in human history will be the day following the rapture. There's going to be a multitude of church people who've got just enough religion to go to church, and just enough religion to sit comfortable on the pew, and just enough religion to maybe pay their tithes. But there's no fire. There's no Holy Ghost anointing. They live careless. They dress any old way. They don't care nothing about godly living and godly dressing and godly talking. And they may have been saved, and they may still be somewhat religious, but they're going to miss that rapture, and that's going to be hell on earth.
Yeah, they have no. They think it's bad now. What people see out here, they have no clue how. We can't even think of how bad it's going to be.
No, sir. I'm trying, but I'm not making first base. Thank you, brother.
Praise the Lord for what you're doing, Pastor Chambers.
Thank you. May I say to everybody out there listening to me, you need to be part of this. You need to be a partner with this. I need to spread this all over the world. I'm doing everything I can do with the money I have, and I don't have enough. I really don't. I need thousands. I want to start a classical Pentecostal college that is desperate to train preachers. I am tired of wimpy trained preachers. The only two colleges I know about that's half decent, they don't really build a fire like this under people. They don't really get into the middle of some of these great truths. It's too heavy. The teachers themselves are not under the burden of it. And I want a classical Pentecostal college. How many out there would help me? Now, have anybody out there that could give me a couple million that we could start a classical Pentecostal college? I promise you this. You pray for God to give me 2 million, and I'm going to start it immediately. I'll start building a dormitory. I'll start building classrooms. I'll get things ready. And I've got the right preachers that can do it. I really do. We have the best group of preachers in our fellowship in the world. We really do. And they are great. And we this week had 8 young preachers to preach the last hour before the night services, between 6 and 7. 2 on Tuesday, 2 Wednesday, 2 Thursday, 2 Friday. These are great men. And we got more growing up. We got young men. Last night, the Spirit of God filled this place, and numbers of young men between, say, the age of 10 up to 18 were praying and seeking God and yearning after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And there's more waiting on us. And we're just doing our best. And I need you on the team. I need you a partner. I need you sharing the burden and sharing the load. Now, we got ladies standing by to take your phone calls to order this. I want 100 people to order this in the next 30 minutes. 100 people, maybe 200. I don't know. Just take an hour with the ladies to stay right in there. My wife is here. She's 82, will be 83, but she's on the job, buddy. She's on the job, and she loves it, and she's right behind me. Oh, what would I do without my Juanita? I couldn't stand it. Yeah, I talk about her all the time because I love her so dearly. You see, a real man of God needs a real woman of God that he can care for, that loves him, that he can love, and that just stands the task with him. And I got one. I got the best. And I've got wonderful people around me. And boy, have my people served in this camp meeting. We don't even charge for the night meals this year, serving free lunch and free dinner after church and crowds, I mean, wonderful. It's just been great. But I want you in church tomorrow. Get in that automobile and drive a little ways to be in an old-fashioned church tomorrow, will you? I'd love to have you. I promise you. Now, keep calling 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588 to give you the phone again. I'm not going to do it for long now. So grab your number. Write it down. Write it down. Now, I got 3 minutes. 3 minutes. One more call. And I want to tell you, we are so close to the end. The things in this article, I hardly touched the surface. I mean, I didn't even get to read my things that I had in mind. 1/3 of the earth's inhabitants is going to be slain by these creatures out of the bottomless pit. Can you imagine anything more wonderful? Many have festered. I mean, they have the power of torture. They have the power of hell. They've festered in the devil's realm. They're so full of wickedness and evil until they climb walls, the Bible said, to get in houses. Climb walls to get in houses. There won't be no escape. People will want to die when all of this hell breaks loose. But you can miss it by going in the rapture. And if any preacher tells you the rapture is not going to happen before this starts, you tell him you're lying, preacher. You're lying. Get out of the pulpit. Get out of the place of your position and go find you a Bible. Get along with God for a few weeks and learn the Bible. And then they'll know better. They will know better. Now, I love you. I know I've been plain as I can be. I'd love to have one more call. I would do my best to make myself available to you. You are important to me. You really are. You are important to me. Now, Jesus is coming. And he's coming very soon. And I want you to go. Are you listening to me? I want you to go. I want you to go when Jesus comes. Now, get on fire. Let the Spirit of God get a hold of you. Now, the numbers to call. The ladies will keep answering. 704-391-0588. You got that? 704-391-0588. 391-0588. I'm still here. I don't know why I did that. I'm back. I'm supposed to be back. Let me get it here. Hallelujah. I'm back. Let me get the right button. Well, I can't get it to come up here. What's going on? Oh, come on here, John. Come on here, John. Well, I'm still here, so you're hearing me. And now we're playing music to bless you. And don't miss in the morning. I want to see you in the house of God. I want to see you in the house of God.
I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Hallelujah.
And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you had someone who could step in and pay the debt? Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 139 this morning at Calvary. Praise the Lord. 139. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me